You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Audio files will be available after the show, where you can download and listen anytime on your computer, mobile device, or join us live every week to practice English with real Americans speaking real English. All aboard the English Express.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today on the English Express Radio Podcast with Cliff and Brandon. Although Brandon is not actually with us today, it's going to be just you and me. But we're going to still have a good time. So thank you for joining us. You can visit us online, theenglishexpress.com. You can also send in emails, info@theenglishexpress.com, if you have comments or just want to tell me how much you hate me. All right. Now, as you know, here in America, we have Christmas on December 25th. I'm actually recording this right after the Christmas vacation, which is kind of cool because I got to spend it in Utah. Now, for those of you who are in other countries and you're not aware of the geography of America, I live in a city called Fort Collins, Colorado. It's just north of Denver. So if you look at your map, I drove from that little dot on the map up Interstate 80 all the way to Salt Lake City, Utah, where I just spent the last couple of days. I got to see my parents. My kids got some Christmas presents. They got to meet Santa, and I got to spend some time with a lot of family. So it was great. And now, for people in Russia in particular, which is where most of our listeners are, we have there's a thing called New Year's. And that's coming up for us, and that's the big holiday for Russians. I've always wondered what Japan does, because I know that they're we get a lot of listeners from Japan as well. And I don't know. Do you guys celebrate the holidays, Christmas on December 25th, the way America does, or on a different day? Like in Russia, it's January the 7th, I believe, is Christmas in Russia. Well, you know, you can please let me know, write in info@theenglishexpress.com, and let me know how you guys celebrate the holidays. Now, here in America, one of the hallmarks is Santa Claus and writing him letters and meeting him in person. We've got malls and stuff like that all across America that kids can talk to Santa. But what do children say when they write Santa a letter? Well, Carol Slaughterback, a psychology professor at the University of Scranton, analyzed almost 1,200 letters addressed to Santa and sent to the Central Post Office. Now, in America, the Central Post Office is in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And that brings us to the holiday pile. Okay, so we're going to talk about some holiday traditions and some interesting things regarding the holidays. Now, letters to Santa were written with every possible type of paper, different types of ink. I'm glad that they're not printing them out on paper, because, come on, if you're a kid and you're going to send something to Santa Claus, or Russia, if you're going to send something to Dipmoroz, be creative about it. And at least American children were. A lot of the letters included drawings, stickers, glitter, and a lot of kids, just to be sure Santa knew how to find them, gave Santa not only their name and their address, but also their home phone number and parents' cell phone numbers. They really wanted to make sure that Santa knew how to find them. Some even threw in school photos. It's coming out in a book called The Psychology of Santa, and Slaughterback says some are hilarious. Other letters are some of the saddest things that she's ever read. She said that she's never gone 5 or 10 minutes without getting teary. It's very emotional. And of course, in any country, you've got families who are maybe not as well off as others, but they deserve something good for the holidays as well. So I wanted to read you just a little bit a little sample of what children asked Santa for. One child wants to become an elf. One child wrote out a list including video games, a camera, and a microscope. And every two or three items, the child wrote no clothes, like 10 times. It's like, you know, I want this, I want that, and no clothes. One little girl asked Santa for a mother. Not just for me, but for my daddy, my brother, my grandma. My daddy works so hard. Then he comes home, he cooks, and he cleans, and it should be easier for him. The letter, written in careful cursive, that's a handwriting, on pink paper. She also drew a 5-cent stamp on the envelope because she couldn't afford a real stamp. One child, man, that is sad. I hope daddy finds himself a wife there and, you know, brings some happiness to that family. A different child asked Santa to check the appropriate box, real or not real. A lot of kids wrote letters. Instead of making a list, tended to be more polite and chatty, sometimes asking about Mrs. Claus. You know, the folks who are just making a list, they don't care. They just want stuff. So they just write all the things they want. But it's better to, like, write an actual letter. During the 2001 Christmas season, right after the September 11th attacks, a lot of the letters were decorated with Santa's sleigh and American flags flying on it. And I think that's true in any country. If something terrible happens, the citizens of that country are going to become more patriotic and express that in their writings and things like that. And, of course, that's true here in America as well. Also that year, children asked for fewer toys. So they're reflecting the patriotism of their parents, and I think that's a good thing. On a normal year, the U.S. Post Office receives literally hundreds of thousands of letters, and none actually make it to the North Pole, obviously. But some of those letters are actually responded to, and they're written by Operation Santa, staffed by volunteers, companies, and postal employees. So that's kind of cool for kids to get a letter from Santa and tell him that he's there and he cares about them. Now, of course, the other thing that we talk about are kids actually going to meet Santa. Now, when I went to Salt Lake City, one of the first things I did, I went down to, it used to be called the ZCMI Center, but they've torn that down right in downtown, and it's now called the City Creek Mall, and it is one of the coolest malls I've seen. It's brand new, huge. They've got, like, the sky bridge that goes over the road there, and it's just a giant, really cool mall. And they've got a Santa there, and of course my son went and took some pictures with Santa along with the baby, told him what he wanted, and you know, had a really great time. Now, one of the new traditions that's becoming more common is bringing your dog to see Santa. One of the newest traditions there, parents putting their little ones down to get photographed. Come on, that's normal, like we just talked about. But dogs to visit Santa Claus? I don't know, but 27%, more than 1 in 4 of all pet lovers, bring their pet to see Santa. That is insane to me. Your dog can't talk. He doesn't understand what's going on, so I don't know. But 27% of pet owners are doing that. I would love to hear their rationale and why they would do something like that, because it does not make a lot of sense to me. But Santa pictures in general, and we bought our package. You know, you got to have pictures with the kids. It's bringing in $2.2 billion a year of people buying Santa photos. So that's pretty good business there. Also, around the world, whether you're celebrating the New Year or Christmas, the tree seems to be a very popular staple. Is it better to have a real tree or a fake tree? I've gone both ways. I have a fake tree. Sometimes we put it up. Sometimes we use the real tree. But the very first artificial Christmas tree was actually made in Germany out of dyed green goose feathers. Obviously, it's progressed, gotten more technological from there. They actually look pretty realistic. In the United States, Christmas was declared a national holiday on June 26th, 1870. So that was the first official Christmas. 25 years later, electric lights became a common thing. You know, 1870, they didn't even have electric lights at that point. I think they used candles, which seems like it might burn the tree down in your house along with it. So I think the electric lights were probably a good idea. Real trees also bring a hidden present. They remove dust and pollen from the air, making the season a little bit more bearable for allergy sufferers. So if you've got an allergy prone person in your home, maybe go for a real tree instead of a fake one. And an astounding 28% of folks proudly admit to being re-gifters. What that means is somebody gives you a gift and you give it to somebody else. And almost 20% of us don't finish up our shopping until Christmas Eve. I have to say that I am guilty of that. The last gift I bought was for my father, believe it or not, and I did it on Christmas Eve right before dinner. So those are just a few holiday facts. I have, when we come back from a break, what happens if you think you're getting a good deal, but then you find out you're not? And maybe toys and testosterone shouldn't be mixed together, but they all too often are. And playground slides, we've got a big recall. We're going to take a quick break, as I mentioned, and we'll be right back here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
The past, the present, and the future walked into a bar. It was tense. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience mean she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Well, yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron. Are your friends laughing at you? Maybe it's because you're not listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, or maybe it's just because you're ugly. Hop aboard the English Express. Choo-choo, mother...
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast with your Cliff... with your host, Cliff. I can be your Cliff, too. I gotta tell you guys, It's been a long time since I did a show on my own. I got so used to Brandon, my co-host, being there to bounce things off of. But there was a time back when I lived in New Mexico. I mean, I guess it wasn't that long ago. Probably, was this 2016? Jeez, has it been 13 years? 13 years ago, I had my very own morning show down at KNFT. It was 105 point something. I can't even remember which station it was, but Anyway, KNFT were the call letters down in Silver City, New Mexico. And most of the time I had a co-host, but there were times that I had to do it all by myself. And it's always a challenge, but I love being able to just sit in front of the microphone and talk with you as you invite me into your homes or your telephone. So, you know, I always appreciate emails. If you want to just say hi, send them in. info@theenglishexpress.com. And I love being able to share some of the stories and things that I find interesting with you. So I just want to say thanks for being there. All right. This story made me laugh. In Sycamore Township, which is a suburb of Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a city in the state of Ohio. And Jason Dixon says somebody vandalized his nativity scene. Now, this is a nativity scene that he puts up annually. And for those of you who aren't Christian or you don't know the history behind Christmas as far as Jesus goes, you've got Jesus was born. That's what Christmas is supposed to be all about. And, of course, you've got his mother, Mother Mary, and his father, Joseph. And they're all out in the like a barnyard, and they've got the animals all around them, and usually you have the wise men bringing gifts. And I can't believe that somebody vandalized his nativity scene. It's something that you commonly see in America, often on the steps of a courthouse or a church, and they cut off the head of the Mary figure and threw the baby Jesus into the yard, which is terrible. Of course, one of the reasons why they may have done this is it wasn't your ordinary nativity scene that you might be used to seeing. This is a zombie nativity scene. And Mother Mary is a ghoulish-looking figure. And the baby Jesus is made of bright green. But a little vandalism isn't going to stop this crazy zombie fan. He has repaired the scene and says that he's going to keep rebuilding it as many times as necessary. Dixon says that this is the first time that someone has actually damaged that structure since he started the holiday display in 2014. Oh, so this is only his third year, and it's controversial every year. Come on. He's just having a good time, I think. I don't think it's very a big problem. He's just having a good time. But the township, they don't like it, and they actually took him to court last year for alleging zoning violations over the non-traditional nativity scene, but eventually it dropped the case. So he won. And Dixon's attorney is now they argued at the time that the township was trying to suppress his First Amendment freedom of expression. And I agree. I mean, it's kind of silly, but it sounds like a fun thing. I don't know why people aren't just laughing at it. It's just a little joke, you know? All right. Now, around Christmas time and the new year, kids all across the world, they get presents. They get toys. They love to play. Kids just love playing. And one of the things that I remember growing up in California, which was a kind of a warmer area, was going outside and playing, even in the cold. I didn't care. I just wanted to get outside and play. We didn't have a lot of snow and stuff like that. And playground slides are just a great time. My littlest one is about a year and 3 months. And when we go to indoor slide areas or indoor play areas, he loves the slide. But the problem is that about 1,300 playground slides are now being recalled after children are losing fingers in the slide. That's not a good thing. That might put a damper on the fun when your children are losing fingers. Distributor PlayWorld System says it's recalling all their single and double-width lightning slides manufactured by Horizon Industries, sold between 2000 and 2016 after it was made aware of 13 incidences where a crack appeared connecting the stainless steel slide to the barriers. You know, because you can't have kids falling off the sides, but apparently there's becoming a crack, little kids sticking their fingers in them and losing them. So, yeah, for 16 years, unbelievable. The company says that they're offering free replacements and free installation. That's free installation for the slides. Not they're not replacing the lost fingers. Poor kids. That's they're gonna go to high school and kids are gonna think they're like lost their limbs in the war. I'd play that up. I would love to be involved in something like that because that's a story that you can tell. Anyway, now I know this is something common all around the world. These little toy cars. Everybody loves cars. When you're a kid, you love cars. And you want it to be as real as possible. Every time I go to the toy store, my kids race for these things. They get in, they're built to look like real cars, but they're just electric. They're toys. They don't go that fast. Well, not so. In McHenry, Illinois, there's a fella named Kyle Kuta. And he's a little bit of an amateur mechanic. He works on regular cars. Well, he just modified his child's Power Wheels toy car to run with a real engine and reach speeds of 40 miles per hour. For those of you in the metric system, that's about 60 kilometers per hour. My God, that's pretty fast for a child. Kyle posted a video showing how he took a Power Wheels vehicle based on the Cadillac Escalade and replaced the electric engine with a 5-horsepower, 160 cubic centimeter Honda engine. He's then seen taking the toy car for a test drive, reaching speeds of 60 kilometers per hour. He says, "Yep, this is what you get when you cram a 5-horsepower Honda engine into a plastic Escalade made for a kid, an unstable 40-mile-an-hour death trap. The frame is made out of Unistrut, and the wheels were meant for a wheelbarrow, so the rest of it is just junk we had laying around the garage." Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and suggest you not try to do this yourself because that's the kind of thing that can end up in disaster. All right, how about this one? You go to the store, you need to buy some presents or some things for yourself, and you see a great deal, discounts. You get to save money, and it encourages you to buy. I don't know how many of you have really researched how the retail industry works. But what normally happens is when somebody gives you a discount, in Russian I think it's skidki, I think is the word for it. When they give you a discount, they tell you how much the original price is and then tell you how much the price is now. The thing is, though, a lot of times they create the original price and they never charge anyone that. Like, for example, let's say I have, that's a pair of scissors. I got some scissors, okay? And I want to sell you these scissors for $3, okay? That's the price that I'm going to sell them to you for. So I tell you, original price, $7. And you get a discount of, $4. And so, new price, big, great bargain, $3, you know, looks like you're saving a bunch of money, but you're actually not. Now, down in Los Angeles, prosecutors are suing four national retailers. These are American companies, JCPenney's, Sears, Kohl's, and Macy's. Oh, I love Macy's. That's one of my favorite stores, Macy's. But they're claiming that stores lied to the shoppers and made them believe they're getting bigger discounts than they actually did. City Attorney Mike Fuhrer says, "Customers have a right to be told the truth about the prices they're paying, and they have a right to know if a bargain is really a bargain." And so these advertisers are advertising fake higher prices so that the customers believe they're getting bigger bargains than they really were. Basically just what I explained to you. Now, out in California, because every state has its own set of laws, and California makes it against the law for retailers from advertising a higher price unless the product was actually sold at that price within 3 months of the ad. And they're not doing that. It's not true. So that's a good lawsuit. I like that. You That's called honesty. And I don't think that there's ever a problem with honesty. Now, this lawsuit seeks civil penalties up to $2,500 for every violation. That means every time they sold a toy or a product at that lying rate, they're going to owe $2,500. That adds up to a lot of money. And there are also injunctions that stop them from using these fake reference prices. So some of the examples are JCPenney selling a bathing suit online for $31.99, down from an original price that they say is $46. They even marked it down further, but they still compared it to that original $46 price point, even though that item was never, ever in the history of time actually sold for $46. So, hey, when people are lying to you, that's not a good thing, right? All right. Now let's finish up with high school students making really bad decisions. This always makes me laugh. Drinking games. Oh, the joys of being a young child. Children are so stupid, especially in high school. Well, there's this drinking game allegedly played by students from Princeton High School in New Jersey. It's called Jews versus Nazis, and it's a version of beer pong called Alcoholicost. Oh, what a great name. Jesus. Children, what they will think of. In a Snapchat photo, one team appears to have arranged their cups into the formation of a swastika, while the opposite side has positioned their cups into the Star of David. And if that wasn't insensitive enough, now everybody knows how to play beer pong, right? The way it works is you get like these ping pong balls and you bounce them on the table and you try to get it to land in one of the cups. And if it lands in the cup, you take a drink. And then you get to go again, I think. And if that wasn't insensitive enough, according to the game's rules, the Jewish team is permitted to hide a single cup known as the Anne Frank Cup. Now, for those of you who don't know who Anne Frank is, she's famous for a young Jewish girl, and they were hiding in the attic, and she had a diary, which became very famous. Superintendent of the school, Steve Cochran, said, "As an individual, and as the superintendent of the Princeton public school system, I am deeply upset that some of our students chose to engage in a drinking game with clearly anti-Semitic overtones and to broadcast their behavior over social media. The incident, of course, was first exposed by another student who posted photos on her blog after being shocked by the game." Yeah, this is pretty insensitive, I have to be honest. She has since received a mixture of backlash and support from fellow pupils. Reportedly, the questionable game's origins can be traced back to 2011 when it was outlined in a Tumblr post. So, yeah, probably not the best game to play. But if you're come on, everybody, especially in high school at that age, does insensitive, stupid, bad things. That doesn't make it okay, but you also shouldn't be broadcasting it for the whole world to see your stupidity. Because, quite honestly, things online, this is a lesson for you guys out there. Things that you do online never, ever die. If you do it, it will follow you forever. And so if you do not want to be attached to a game like Jews versus Nazis, beer pong, bad idea. So anyway, that's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Again, the email address, info@theenglishexpress.com. If you want to just say hello, write in a question. Last week, we did have a great question, just a random question from a listener who wanted to know about some relationship stuff. So you can send that in or anything you want. info@theenglishexpress.com. You can also find us online, The English Express. .com. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next time here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
What was more important than the invention of the first telephone? The second telephone.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.